sent from his throne above. He came to change his world through love. He came humbly, he came to serve. He'll come again to rule his earth. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. And hallelujah, the Lord has come. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. Emmanuel, our God is with us.
You're listening to Thursday Night Live at Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a fellowship of believers committed to a fourfold style of ministry. We seek to reach, teach, mend, and send. Each Thursday Night Live service involves a time of intimate worship, an in-depth study of God's Word, and a time of afterglow and leading of the Holy Spirit. And now, here is Thursday Night Live.
All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. I'm Ed. I'm one of the folks here. One of the Lambos in here. One of the sheep. They bite and devour one another. Today, we're going to do a testimony. So this is instead of a regular study, I was asked to do a testimony today. And in preparation for this, I realized that I have not prepared to go through that. This last week and a half or so, just kind of rehashing some of the things that I've gone through in my life, has been very emotional and strenuous and stuff, which comes to home fellowships. So last night I was able to share in home fellowship all the struggles I've been going through, and it just accounts for the benefit of having home fellowship, because in that made me realize that all that bleh, you know, didn't have to be here in this message. So where you'd have to go home, take a shower after the message, you know, just to get a nice clean, you know, cleanliness before going to bed. So which is good. That was good. But the thing is it highlights some key points and things like that. So let's just pray. We'll start off with prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd be glorified in this message, Lord, that in this testimony that I'm giving, that I'd be able to integrate your word into the key points, and that we can come away with some application as well. Lord, that things that maybe we have still in our own lives, pieces of carnality that need to be worked out of us, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that, again, the act that you did, dying on the cross, raising from the dead, the punishment you went through in order to reconcile our carnal, sinful lives to you, Lord, that we'd be able to have fellowship with you, both here and now and for eternity. Just thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we'll start off with a brief history. I was raised in a broken home. It was broken until when my parents bought this house. It was unfinished, and so when he finished it, then it was not a broken home anymore. But otherwise, it was a very standard standard home. So it was I had loving parents. They were Catholic. Nothing against that, but it just shows to their spiritual aspect of things. My mom had a little bit more of a spiritual aspect, as I learned about that later on after I got saved. She came from a Lutheran background and physically chose to be Catholic. In the marriage, you know, and stuff like that. It was, you know, back in those days, that was a thing. But there was some spiritual considerations that she was making, you know, when she did that. She was a loving in her own way kind of a person. And I say that very distinctly. And my dad was more laid back, fun. They're both very good at discipline. And again, they both shared the fact that they cared for us, they loved us. So in a home, as far as a home is considered, I should be very grateful and thankful, right? And I am now, but back in my carnality, I wasn't. And we're going to get into some of that. So, I grew up in a small town in southern Minnesota, a town called St. Peter, just north of Mankato a little bit. And so it was one of those towns where it was bigger than a really, really small town, but it was still small enough that people knew each other, and there was this interaction of like, you had a name in the whole town, in essence, especially in your age group. When I graduated, there was only, I think, just over 100, maybe 120 or so kids in my class. So it was a smaller school in that aspect. So if we want to turn, let's turn to 2 Timothy. And you'd be like, what? We just came out of 2 Timothy. But this is where I'm at. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, or chapter 3, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And what I'm going to pivot on is these scriptures here, verses 1 through 5. Now, verse 5 kind of distinguishes the context of verses 1 through 4, and so I'm going to include it to get the context of the verses, but then I'm going to expound a little bit further beyond that, okay? So verses 1 through 5, Second Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and in our context, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such turn away. So that verse 5, having a form of godliness, okay, so the thing is that, Paul here, he's talking about these are attributes that are going to be not only in the world, but they're going to be attributes in the church as well. People who have a form of godliness, right? They're going to church, they're doing this stuff and everything like that. They have this thing, but they are carrying along all this carnality in their life, right? So that's what I wanted to point out. So now, in going through verses 2 through 4, which brings up our list of things here, these are some of the things that I could pick out in my life that I lived by, all right? And being a carnal, selfish flesh, carnal, vomitous flesh bag of pus. So as we so endearingly call ourselves in this church anyway. But lovers of themselves, starting off with lovers of themselves, so that they're selfish. The thing was is in my life, I wanted to be important, right? And it wasn't that I did anything important. It wasn't anything like that. It was just a matter of the aspect of wanting to be elevated in some way, right? Now, the thing was is that I started looking through the scriptures in regards to selfishness, because that was one of the key things that came to my mind. But what's interesting I found in the scripture is it talks about selfish ambition. And I was not that. I was not ambitious in any way. I was, and if anything, it was very common nowadays, entitled. I was selfishly entitled. I wanted it without doing anything, right? So, and we'll get into the entitlement later on as we go over, because I kind of attribute it to being unthankful. But I was selfish, and I wasn't ambitious. I wasn't wanting to, you know, be the most powerful or, you know, rise up as being the greatest. I just wanted that position, you know, and the fact that I didn't have it and didn't get it ended up really kind of messing with my mindset and reality and stuff like that. You know, I was very, in essence, for that selfishness to flourish, you have to be very inward focused and very conscious of yourself only, you know. And in that, you have no aspect or care for anything else outside of the world. What that led to in my life is there were cases where I would be very depressed. It was just points where I would just want to, you know, die, or in essence, you know, that depression kind of led to very suicidal thoughts and stuff like that. So it was a very dark period. Well, anything before Christ was a very dark period in my life, because that even existed all the way into college. But I had interesting ways to deal with it later on as I kind of worked things out. But it was a selfishness that, like I said, I was just expecting to be high and elevated without any sort of effort, without any sort of thing. It was just like, hey, I just want it, you know. So, like I said, in an entitled way. So the thing is that being a lover of self, that was one of the core aspects of my being. I want to just kind of skip some of these here. I wasn't much, you know, you could say a lover of money, right? Everyone's a lover of money, but actually, I wasn't so much. Money didn't really matter to me so much. I worked, and the aspect of when I worked and, you know, gaining money, all I did was just put that away into a savings. I wasn't a spender or anything like that. Although when I would want to spend, I would want to spend on some great things. But like there was this 1979 Camaro that was for sale, and I had the money for it, and I wanted to buy it. And all my dad was just simply, he goes, you know, Ed, he goes, that once you buy that, it's going to diminish, you know, it's not going to be worth as much later on, and you're going to have to put money into it to maintain it. Think about the insurance as well, because it was a really nice car and stuff like that. And just with simple logic like that, I was like going, oh yeah, I guess so. So, and I moved on. So, but money wasn't that thing. Like I said, I wasn't boastful, proud in a sense. I was, you know, it wasn't like, you know, look at me type of thing or anything. It wasn't that kind of thing, but it was more intertwined with that selfishness and wanting, you know, that. Now, going on, I've got another one here that I focus on, and that's blasphemous, okay? Blasphemers. Now, I might have an interesting take on this whole thing, okay? Because I was so selfish, right? The thing is that if I didn't attain some sort of, you know, recognition of some sort, it had nothing to do with me. I'm the victim here, you know. It's like, what happened, right? So in that aspect, what happened is I would self-deprecate. You know, deprecate. You know, basically, I would take who I was and just totally rip it apart. Oh, you know, I'm stupid. You know, and all these other things. Later on, I kind of find out. I'm going, oh, you know, maybe I had issues with dyslexia, not like a minor form of it. You know, but I struggled with reading and all that stuff in high school, and all that. I mean, it was horrible. And now I kind of look back and going, you know, as I've learned, it was like, maybe there's that, right? But the thing is that I look at this as being blasphemous. Anytime you tear yourself down in a way, now I'm not talking about being prideful about, you know, wanting to be great or something like that, but we each have a purpose. We each have gifts. We each have talents. And to totally take that and say, you know, I'm made for nothing. I'm just garbage. I'm trash. There is nothing here, right? And that, it was the attitude I had. And that attitude is blasphemous in my mind, because what you're doing is you are blaspheming how God made you. You're saying God was wrong in how he made you. And that was probably one of the biggest things I think in regards to sin that I had in my life, is I did that a lot. One of the things I recall, and you don't have to turn there, but in Judges chapter 6, this is Gideon, and Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press in a cave, basically, and the Lord comes to him. Verse 14 says, "Then the Lord turned to him, Gideon, and says, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So this is one of the first things that God is saying to Gideon. And Gideon's response in verse 15, so he said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." That kind of thing, you know. It's like going, who am I, right? The thing is that God has said outright, go in the strength, right? And the thing is that, you know, having a knowledge of God. See, I grew up Catholic, so I did have a knowledge of God. So in spite of not being a believer, I am still blaspheming, because the fact is that I have a knowledge of God. And we even see in Romans that all creation testifies that there is a God. So anyone who does this kind of thing is blaspheming. They're blaspheming God and how they've been created, and so on. And so in my mind, I was such a lover of myself that I would pick any little flaw that I had, and I would just expand it and blow it up, and I would tear myself down. And that was one of the things that led into massive depression. I think the thing is that that's exactly where Satan wanted me, number one. But as I'm getting down to it here, this is really the acts of the carnal mind, right? This is how the carnal work, right? Being selfish, why not? When you've cast God aside, it's like going, yeah, you know, it's like we just all we have to do is look at the darkness of this age in this world right now. If we weren't here as the salt of the earth, just imagine how dark things will be. I mean, right now, even with us as salt of the earth, we have the European Union March 8th thing. I don't know. It's starting to, you know, cycle now about how this document about human rights, right? And it all has to do with everything that our pastor has been warning us about. Sex with minors, reducing the age, all that stuff like that. It's horrible. It's disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting. It is so disgusting that we, being the salt of the earth, and the effect and the impact that we have even on non-believers that we're around, they're looking at this going, that's disgusting. And they're not even believers, right? So the thing is that you take that salt away, that purifying agent, things will get really bad. And the thing is that that's exactly it. It's all self. It's all wanting to totally blaspheme God and elevate self above anyone else. Okay. One of the next things is, well, disobedient to parents here. And like I say, that was not my thing. I was pretty obedient. I mean, there were the times that I got the belt, but it was not very often. It was when I was little and I would do stupid things. So, but as I grew older, I grew out of those stupid things and became fairly obedient. So when my parents wanted something and asked for it, or had it, we did it. You know, that was pretty much our household in a sense. So we were raised well in that aspect. But after that is unthankful. Ooh, unthankful. So unthankfulness. This thing here, I could just, you know, when you're so introspective and you don't see the world, okay, you lose perspective on your situations. Okay? Example, it wasn't just a few weeks ago. I was coming to Sojourner's Cafe for a board meeting. And driving there, there was an accident happened in front of me, and everyone was fine. So I decided, okay, I'm going to pull off the side and move on. Well, I ran over a screw, and I was hurting the tick, 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 tick. And I'm going, let me just get to the Sojourner's. So I drove, just got to Sojourner's. Then I could see the tire was, you know, deflating and stuff like that. The Lord provided tremendously and all this other stuff, right? Later on, you know, the board meeting didn't happen until a little bit later than it was planned and stuff like that. So things got pushed off and various things happened during that night. And then later on, as we got the tire repaired and everything, and I'm putting the old tire back on again, I get my finger smushed in the door, right? These are little things that just happen. And I'm like going, oh, spiritual warfare. And then all of it's, right? Well, in a sense it was, right? There was some things going on, and I could see the reason for it. But having that myopic perspective, this thing was great and grand. And then all of a sudden, the Lord just said, well, what about that driver that ran over the back end of that motorcycle? Do you think they were feeling all that well? And I'm going, ooh, yeah, that's a whole lot worse. That's a whole lot worse than just a flat tire and a crunched finger that, you know, feels a lot better right now. No broken bones, no nothing. I'm going, yeah, perspective, right? So unthankfulness, it can be a matter of perspective. If you don't have the grander perspective of things, you become ungrateful and unthankful. And that was me. I was very ungrateful, unthankful. And in spite of now looking back, I'm like going, oh man, there were so many things. You know, it's like going, I looked at, we were poor. And now I can understand. It's like going, my dad didn't make a whole lot. But the thing was, is that what he put his money into mattered. He put it into a house. And so we were living in a new house, a house that didn't have any problems with it. It was wonderful. We lived in a great neighborhood of St. Peter, right? And I'm like going, wow, you know, it's like I should have been grateful. I should have been thankful. But no, I was unthankful, because I didn't have cool clothes and I didn't have cool shoes and I didn't have a cool haircut and stuff like that, all these things, right? So, I was unthankful for those things. And in that, again, there's a bit of entitlement. When you are not looking at the grand perspective of things, you become entitled. You become a victim because you're looking at all the bad things in your life. Oh, it's such a bad thing. Oh, my life is horrible and horrible it is, you know. And the thing is that without the perspective of what's going on in the world, and the greater perspective of, like, Christians dying. I mean, for us, we have those who are dying for their faith, right? We have some issues, but, you know, there's those things like that. There's actually even those who are unbelievers who are going through tremendous issues, slavery or beatings and things like that. A lot of these are kids who live in a life like this, right? This brings back to me 1 Corinthians. If you want to keep your hand here in Timothy chapter 3, we will go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Oh, you know what? Hold on a second. Hold off. Let's hold off on that. But we will be going to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But we'll stay here. So entitled. So the thing is that I was entitled. I had that. I didn't have the great perspective, and because of that, I was ungrateful, unthankful, entitled. Now the thing is that in this kind of thing, one of the natures that I have is I'm not a very fast person. Now, if I'm running, I can be fast to some degree, you know. I was one of the things I could be thankful for, but I never was the fact that I was one of the fastest 800-meter runners in my whole school. So, matter of fact, I was very close to beating the record at the time for the school. But I had enough to let her. But did I care? No. I was still ungrateful and thankful. But anyway, so going back, in my daily life and how I do things in general, my dad had a nickname for me, Bullet. Hey, Bullet, come on, let's go. You know, when I was a kid, that was my nickname. And that meant just the opposite. It was because I was super slow. So one of the things that we did is that I was in marching band. I was a trombone player in our marching band. And it was, our marching band was pretty decent, actually. Competed among the state. We would win some awards. We weren't like top, but we did place. I think I can't remember if we placed second or third. So, but it was enough to letter in band. So, which was nice. I was also part of the our jazz band as well, which also competed across the state, which is good. But we were at this time we had earned a spot to play at the state fair. And so we were playing, we got to play at the state fair in the parade there. And so I arrived earlier in the day with my folks, and then later on went to the school bus where everyone was, and got changed into our band uniforms, did the parade and did well. Came back, and again, we're just getting changed into our plain clothes. Now, me being Bullet, as I was, everyone was gone by the time I'm done. And oh, woe is me. Well, back in, what was it? This must be probably 1986. You want to look at the during the time of, September of 1986. How you guys must have suffered as well just because of how bad that day was, right? No, probably not. But the thing is that so that day was I got back and I decided to sulk. What a wonderful use of time. So and there I sat in the bus all by myself, going, and I sat. And then later on, a spider came, and I watched it build a web in the window. And I sat. And I sat for hours and hours. And I'm sure you guys felt every bit of that, right? Every bit of that. So, no, and that was it. So the thing is that this is where unthankfulness, ungratefulness can take you. And it... Now, the thing is that it didn't end there. It didn't end there. There was probably about an hour left of the fair before we would leave. And I'm like going, all right, I guess I can't stay here. All I did was go out, and I went, and I think there was like the fry place or something, or the dairy place, and I got something real quick and met up with some friends, and boom. And I had a great rest of the night for the last hour. And I, at that point, I learned a lesson. I'm going... You know what, whenever, it was a hard lesson. It was a painful, stupid, dumb thing. But the thing is that we can't be focused on internal. You can be ungrateful. And all that does is it doesn't hurt anybody else. It only hurts you. So, and that was one of the big things I learned, is that it was a complete stupid thing I did there. And... and I paid for it. No one else paid for it. Everyone else had a great time at the fair, except for me. So, I had one, maybe an hour and a half of good, great time at the fair. But anyway, so moving on. So, one of the other things, unthankful, unholy, unloving. Unloving. I'm going to take a twist on this for unloving. Unloving is can be very nuanced in a sense of here is that I'm looking at the fact that I was unloving because I considered myself shy. Now, I might be stepping on some toes in this part of the message. And the thing is that know that I'm meaning with just the best intentions that I believe shyness is not something we are to have. We are not to be shy. We are not to be timid. When I looked at the definition of shyness, it's easily startled, timid, tending to avoid contact or familiarity with others. And it's characterized by reserve or I would say it's basically being reserved. I'll skip the other word because it's a typo or something here, so it doesn't make it's not a real word. But anyway, but so the thing is shy, timid. The thing is that I equate this to being loving or the opposite of loving, because of the fact is that when you are shy, you do not make any effort to build relationships with other people. And with it, again, it can lend to that aspect of being selfish. Not necessarily. I'm saying on its own, shyness is a problem. Shyness is a problem. And we need to find a way to get past it, right? And the thing is that it was something I had with me all along until I was redeemed. Okay, this is not something that you can just do on your own. It's not a selfish, you know, some sort of thing you can will yourself. Maybe you can. Maybe some people have been able to. I wasn't able to do that. Without the Holy Spirit, I was not able to combat this ability of shyness. Shyness is you care about yourself more than anyone else. That way, you don't build any sort of relationship with anybody, because that would mean you have to open up yourself to being hurt. And that's where we can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where love, just the opposite of this, this is unloving, you know. So, you know, I looked at the definition of loving, and I'm like, I just wanted to throw up, to be honest. I'm like going, seriously? Sometimes you can look at a definition, it's like, oh yeah, this is good. This is good stuff. But I'm just like going, oh, you know, feelings and stuff like that. And it's like going, ugh. Ooh, what? I was like going, I got to find the, you know, I know there's a link somewhere for the Old English Dictionary somewhere. Someone will probably come up to me later on and say, yeah, this is the link. But yeah, it was just disgusting. I wanted to brush my teeth after reading that. Brush my eyes. But anyway, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Let's get the true definition of love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Verse 5, does not behave rudely and does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So, in regards to love, you know, when you look at shyness, you can't, there's no attribute here that shyness emphasizes, right? Shyness is, you know, a matter of withdrawing from those around you and making up barriers and stuff like that, not showing who you are. And that was one of the greatest things that nowadays I look at and say, man, if I wouldn't have been that way, the kind of person who I am now by God's grace and his mercy is something that is, I get to enjoy more. The thing is that at first I, you know, this message is called Simply Ed, right? And I entitled it initially that way just because of the fact that, you know, I look at myself as being a simple person. But as I've been going through this more and more, I'm like going, you know, I'm not that simple. I am. The thing is that I have a lot of emotion, a lot of intensity and different things and stuff like that. I can be funny and crazy and stuff like that. And if I had not been shy, other people would have been able to see that. And but the thing is that it's not going back and saying, oh, what if, it's sometimes you can look at those things and ask, well, what if that would have been different? But had that not been that way, I would not be the person I am today. So I'm still grateful and thankful for being unthankful and ungrateful back then, because it made me learn things and it got me to this point where by the Holy Spirit now inside me, I can be more open, honest, and transparent. All right. So the thing is that now I have a perspective of who I am in a sense of like, I call my API, my interface with the world, it has some issues because there are things that I'll say that are not understandable by other people, and then there's other things that people say to me that I just simply don't get, and they're the simplest things, right? But in that, God does some of the most amazing things. And one of my favorites still, and Chick brings it up every now and then, is there was a time we were at a church. This is at a time early on when Chick was visiting other churches to try to find other places that we could work together and minister with and stuff like that. And we were at this one church, and as we were there, I had this shirt. It had big letters, Jesus, period, on it, you know. And I still wear it every now and then. I got a new one now that it has, you know, a little lower, smaller letters, but it's just Jesus, period, on it, right? And it's a newer one, so I'll be able to make that last another 14, 15 years, if the Lord tarries, God forbid. But anyway, we were there, and this guy, this is the line of truth, and he was going zing, zing, zing through it. You know, there was pieces of truth in there, but man, it was all over the place, right? And that's where one of the things I know is that the Lord is coming back in the fall, because apparently the Lord showed him that it was fall when he was returning. And the only question I had was that, is that the northern hemisphere or is that the southern hemisphere? You know, so just got to know, you know, it's like now there's two seasons. They don't know when the Lord may come back, right? Spring or fall. So our spring is their fall, you know, in the southern hemisphere. But anyway, but as he's one, you know, there was like the congregation was filled with the worship team, which was about 12 members. And then there were maybe one or two other people, and then there was us four that had come together. Chick and I were part of that group, and we're sitting there right in front. And he's looking at me, and he's like preaching the storm. You know, it's like, oh, and he, finally he goes, with a shirt like that, you gotta have something in you. And I'm just looking up at him, and this is just who I am. I just responded honestly and just open. Sure do. That was it. It was so deflating. Now, the thing is I can look back at that and go, that was the Lord using me the way he created me for his good. I love this. That is exactly the thing that can happen if you just be yourself. Be yourself. Be out there. Be open. Do not be afraid to do these things, because in so doing, I mean, the Lord will use these things. And it's like I said, it's one of my most favorite endearing things I remember about that. But shyness can steal that from the world. Do not continue to do that, because that is unloving. It's uncaring for the people around you. Be who you are. Be open, honest. And the real person that you're supposed to be, in following God's word, of course, with that. There's a couple things I have. I have Proverbs chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Right? So the thing is that, being shy and unloving, you start becoming selfish and introverted and focusing on the thing. And all you're doing is just, oh, my heart, this is what I got. And then the other thing is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 9, 7 through 9, anyway. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, Paul, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Wow. Okay, so the thing is kind of summing up, is the fact that we're here now. The people who are here have an opportunity to receive the Lord if you don't know him, and if you do, to receive from him power. We do not have a spirit that's in us that should be cowering in fear concern for our own lives and for our own sake, right? The thing is that we can endure sufferings. God gives us the power to be able to do these things. And in essence, that is what I have seen in my own life as well. As we're going to wrap up in the second half here, second half in the last, 15 minutes. So, but let's go into my conversion. So some of the things that that I experienced is that back before I was an unbeliever, I want to cover a little bit about spiritual gifts. So God gives us gifts, and some of those things he's given us even from the very beginning. My brother and I both had some ability to be able to see spiritual things. Because I remember both being young in our house, and we had this one long hallway that spanned one half of the house there, with all the bedrooms and bathrooms and stuff going off of it. And on that, my brother and I would chase what we called the evil stepmother. And what that was it was a shadowy foot that we saw step out into the hallway and then come back into that room. And he and I, without even communicating, would run to the same doorway that we saw it. It's like, oh, there it is. Oh, there it is. And we'd run, boom, boom. And so I knew he was seeing what I was seeing, because there was no way he was going to the same doorway without. So we would call it the evil stepmother. And it was just, something funny, because we didn't know what we were dealing with, right? At the time, we didn't know what we were dealing with. But it was later on, after my parents built their new house, that we were sitting there, and I'm sitting in a rocking chair in this new house, and we were going to spend the night one night, and now this is after walking with the Lord for several years, and I'm sitting there, and I look, and I see this tall, powerful, shadowy figure walking from the bedroom my wife and I are going to stay in into the room that my sister would normally go stay in when she's at the house. And I'm like going, I mean, we're just talking and chatting and stuff like that, and I'm going, oh, there's the evil stepmother. And I was just like, I knew exactly what it was. I had no fear of it, right? The thing is, God used that gift to keep me in line as I was kind of molding my walk and to learn to walk with him. Because I knew it was a sight that I could see without eyes. I couldn't hide my face in a pillow. I couldn't close my eyes and not see that spiritual world. So it was that. So that was one of the things that happened. When I gave my life to the Lord, it was a point of just all these things were finally just dumping on me. It looked like I was at UMD and college looked like it was going to be done, because I failed with grades, and I wasn't going to get the financial aid that I normally would get and stuff like that. And with some encouragement from my dad, managed to continue to write some letters and stuff like that, get loans instead of grants, and finish off my career in college anyway, go through and get my degree. Those were all lessons I can look at now and go, oh, you know what? Persevere through trials. You know, button your head through things and just moving on, moving forward. And the thing is that it was in that time when all the things were going down. There was this commercial going through my head because I had a girlfriend at the time and I was, you know, had relations with her and stuff like that. And they were talking about having unexpected pregnancies and stuff, and they were talking, oh, all the guys are doing it. And they had this voice, just this dumb voice. I'm going, man, that's me. I'm that dumb guy. All the guys are doing it. Yes. It's like, yeah, and that's, but you know, that's the carnal mind, right? So, but it took me to that very end. And so I'm getting to a point here. The fact that I had to butt up against these walls, I had to, you know, push through, get through all this stuff, right? There was a job offering that came up at the college, and I didn't get it when I first applied. And what I learned from my parents is that you follow up, you go back, you find out why. So I did. I went back, and the guy who was hiring, he's like going, well, you just didn't have the experience. And I said, well, okay. You know, it's like, well, what ended up happening is that one of the day shift guys was caught stealing. And because I came back, I was the only one who did, it put me in a position to meet other guys that would eventually bring me to the Lord. So, and this would almost sounds like a joke, but the Lord used a backslidden Lutheran, a Bible reading Catholic, and what else is? Oh, and a non-practicing Jehovah's Witness to bring me to him. So if that's nothing, I mean, that's God, man, right there. So, all these guys are just talking about the end of the world and all this stuff like that, and I'm like going, what? So I was like, yeah, so talking about that, and finally, I started reading the Bible. That's what spurred me into reading the Bible, and when I was reading God's Word, that is how I came to know the Lord. So that's actually the core thing. So now I'm remade with God's Word in me and all these things. So now if we take a look at some of the aspects of this thing, where, here I was a lover of myself, I was blasphemous and stuff like that. Now, in regards to being a lover of myself, I chose to love others instead. So at this point, I mean, granted, as a new believer, you're not going to be the perfect, great thing. You know, it's like when you're used to talking about yourself and talking, you know, hey, blah, 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 me, and everyone else. See, now I know just how painful it is to hear that stuff. and I was very grateful, very, very grateful of all the people who extended graciousness and mercy for me speaking, me, right? And so I started to do that less. Just start doing it less, you know. Be better than last time. That's focus on being better than last time. At, you know, so if you don't love others, start looking at, instead of loving yourself, looking at loving others. Lover of money, okay. You know, instead of hoarding it for myself, even though I look at it wasn't a big deal for me, I started tithing. One of the first things I did in regards to tithing was just once I heard biblically, you know, a tithe is a tenth. Cool. Yeah. You know, and the whole aspect of being grossly blessed or netly blessed, you know, it's like, oh, grossly blessed. I want that. That sounds good, right? So that was not a problem for me. I started to do that, finding other charities and stuff. Blasphemous against how God created me. Again, now I start to appreciate the flaws because there is a purpose. There was a plan for that. Now I can see these things after coming to know the Lord. I can see just the work that God can do by just being simply true to who you are in a biblical sense, I'm saying. So, you know, I want to say that in a biblical sense, because now we almost have to say, you know, there's all this being true to yourself, and, you know, that doesn't mean in a sinful lifestyle. That means in a biblical sense, you know. So, but instead of being unthankful, I started finding things I was grateful and thankful for. So, and I went back, man. I was just like, oh, man, I'm thankful for the life I came up with, because the fact is, had I not gone through all that weird stuff, you know, I may not be here today, right? All of the trials, all the struggles that we go through, they produce fruit of who we are today, right? So you've gone through some craziness, and you're here now. Don't look back and disrespect or diminish the work that struggle and suffering has done in your life. Be grateful that you're here now. You know, there was plenty of times, because, like I said, I grew up Catholic, and when I became a Bible reading believer, right, the only church I knew was Catholicism, and in spite of going back to the Catholic Church, God was able to save me from contemplative prayer and all the crazy stuff, because all that stuff was happening at the time I became a believer. I was able to see some of that stuff, right? And I was only, in the end, just grateful that the Lord managed to preserve me, you know, through that. And so the thing is that being thankful and grateful, going all the way back from the very beginning, loving others, or unloving to others, being unloving. So what I do is I start to connect with people more, and try to, activate the APIs that are necessary for getting to understand how other people work and stuff, and try to formulate it as best as I can in my own language, and work with that, because, again, it's how God created us, and it different isn't wrong. We all have our different gifts. We all have our different abilities and talents, and we need to leverage and use them to the best of our ability. So take advantage of who you are. Start to learn about people, and the things that come to your mind, that's what God wants you to do. That's what God wants you to do to bless others in that aspect. I was without self-control before, and now one of the things I started looking at doing is building a routine. Routines are great in regards to self-control, being self-disciplined, right? Having a routine. Having a routine of being in God's Word, which oftentimes I still struggle with. But the thing is that I'm still struggling with it. That means I haven't given up, right? That's the key thing. Don't give up. Just continue to struggle. Work on getting better. You know, there's a guy I follow on YouTube who's a health guy I follow. His saying is to be better than last time, you know, harder than last time is his perspective, you know. So when you go to work out, it's like, you may have not had a good day. Well, next time, don't try to make that day better. Next time, be better than last time, right? So the thing is that if today wasn't a good day in walking with the Lord, make from now on, the rest of this night, better than last night, better than, you know, the rest of this day. Just move forward. It was, the whole thing was that I think there's a lot of grace that you can find in the Old Testament, and in that aspect of the law is the fact is that you fail at one aspect, right? And there's mercy there that we have, and the encouragement is to move forward, progress. You know, if you did some wrong restore a relationship, do that. That's progressing forward. Never go try to look back. Never try to go back and, you know, try to do things your own way. But move forward according to the scriptures and what's doing that. And then also a lover of pleasure, which I never got into, and maybe grateful for you guys that I never did. But to be more a lover of God, and with a mindset of, in the midst of suffering and struggling and all that, the Lord has a plan. And I'll end with this. One of the other things that I gained when I first became a believer is God had given me a gift of faith. And one of the things that I learned or had done early on is when I became a believer in reading God's word, I went to an interdenominational Christian fellowship called InterVarsity at U of D. And one of the things they did is they had this, they would go to Colorado, to Bear Trap Ranch in Colorado. And I was a senior, so I never got to experience any of the other things other than what seniors experience. And the seniors experience is there's this day where you can do anything you want. And so we ended up going on a hike, and we walked this long ways. We found that there was this mountain peak we weren't wanting to go to, and so we were going to go. And there were some people who were slower. You know, there was a few girls who were there that they were more petite and not very athletic. And, you know, some of these hills, I mean, relatively speaking, they're not like super steep or anything like that. But when you're dealing with the elevation in Colorado as well, you have the lack of oxygen. So you need to be fit in order to make some of these journeys sometimes. And so what happened is that I was the loudest. So I don't know if that's a surprise, but I was the loudest. And so I stayed back with a slower group, and some others went forward, and they just, poof, they took off. They were wanting to get to the top, right? And so they took off. And I would just yell up, hey, you know, are you up there? And it's like, and they came back. And there was this moment where I yelled up, hey, you guys up there? And there was nothing, just silence. And so I'm going, hey, can you hear me? It's like nothing. And the thing is it was a big deal because there was a couple of the ladies that were with us, and they were about out of gas. They were like almost done. And they're like, I don't know if I can make it. Don't know if I can make it. So I said, all right, stay here. So I ran up the mountain front. So I was barely visible to the group I was with. And again, I yelled as loud as I possibly could. Still, no response. Nothing. And so I ran back, and we're talking with them. And they were just, some of them were on the verge of tears and stuff like that. And I went, let's just pray. Now, I'm the newest believer out of all the group here, you know. And but that's where I look at that gift of faith. I had a faith that God could do something, right? So I just, let's just pray. Let's pray. So I started to pray, and I'm like, Lord, and I don't know what I prayed, right? And I just, and after I said amen, I just, from where I was at, hey guys, can you hear me? You know, not really loud, everything. Hey, yeah, I can hear you. It's like going, you at the top? We're at the top. We're right here. It's close. Have no idea. There was some sort of spiritual thing that broke the, you know, because I was like so far ahead, they could barely see me, and I could barely see them, and they couldn't hear. So sure enough, it was not very much further past where I was walking, and there were some stones, and that was the top. It was right there. So ended up getting to the top, and we all got to experience that mountain height, you know, that mountaintop, and do that. And that was one of the things that I saw that, okay, the Lord has given me this gift of faith. We're just trusting in Him with great things. So I know that our time is over, but I just wanted to finish off with some things here. So God is wanting to do great works in us. He's wanting to build us up and encourage us. And so the thing is that I wanted to wrap up with one last thing. And if I can find it here. Oh, there it is. There it is. Okay. So the last thing here is there is a... the spiritual, you know, there's these gifts that we're looking at in Timothy chapter 3, where the carnal things that are the fruits of the carnal person. But I wanted to hit Galatians to kind of wrap things up here. So if we go to Galatians chapter 5. Let's see here, Galatians 5. Okay. 5:22 to 25. Okay. 22. The fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who are Christ's are crucified in the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. I just want to end with that. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for tonight. I pray that we can live by these fruits that are in Galatians 5. And with your Spirit, Lord, help us to defeat and conquer the fruits of carnality. That you can be glorified in us and through us, and that we would fall more in love with you and be more compassionate, more caring to each other, and just falling more in love with you, Lord, as we realize and recognize the things that you've done for us, Lord, with gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was going to pull up.
You've been listening to Thursday Night Live from Calvary Chapel in St. Paul, Minnesota. I just want to say thank you for listening to this broadcast. You can join us each week at Thursday nights, Central Standard Time at 7:35 p.m. That's 7:35 p.m. Central USA Standard Time to join the service in progress with this live message. Calvary Chapel St. Paul, well, our desire is to reach and teach and mend and send and encourage you with the Word of God. You can listen in also to Sunday Morning Live at 10:40 a.m. USA Central Standard Time. These broadcasts will also be out throughout the week. Thanks for listening to Thursday Night Live.